Well, hey, greetings and salutations, everybody. Welcome back to the channel for this installment of Open Mic, the show here on the channel where we just let you guys have the floor. What are the things you want to talk about and discuss? What questions do you have? What observations do you have? That's what Open Mic is all about. Now, there are two different ways you can send in a question to be read on Open Mic. The first way is if you're not watching the show live and it's like, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you had a thought, you can send in a question anytime 24/7 to our tip link simply at streamelements.com/johncampia/tip. Send that in anytime 24/7. Or the second way you can send in a question is if you are watching live, you can use the super chat in the live chat and send it in that way. And the super chats are currently open. They're only going to be open for a little while longer and then we're going to have to turn them off. But those are there now. And you can send on in your questions and we will spend our show answering them. Now, before we get to jumping into your questions, I got Ray Oro over here is joining us, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. He's very proud. Literally 5 minutes before we started the show, he made a new thumbnail.
That's right.
It was a good thumbnail.
That's right. And more people just came in.
That's right. That's right. It's changed everything. And of course, Jonathan Voico is here as well.
I was here to let him know that original thumbnail really sucked.
And he had to all ass to fix it. And listen, before we get into your comments and questions you guys have been sending in, I do want to talk about Fast and Furious here for a minute. We talked about it a bit on the podcast earlier today, but it's not looking great. As of right now, Fast and the Furious X has made just a hair over $600 million. I think it's $603 million or something like that. Now, for 99% of movies ever made, and directors would kill to say they made a movie that made $600 million. Let's be clear about that. That's a lot of money for a movie to make. It is nonetheless still represents a movie that is losing money. Because Fast X cost $340 million to make, one of the most single expensive films in the history of cinema, coupled with a very healthy marketing budget, I estimate that this movie on the low end needs to make $750 million just to break even. Now, I've seen other outlets quote 800 million and more, somewhere up, you know, 820. Even I saw one of the outlets said it needed to make. But even if we just go by my estimation, 750, I don't know that Fast X is going to get to that number. Last week, at the end of last weekend, Fast X sat about 520 something million dollars. And at the end of this weekend, it's not even gone up 100 million. And it's dropping fast, like most movies do that are in their third, fourth, fifth weeks, right? Like most of them start to drop pretty quickly at that point. So the question then becomes, is this movie going to even break even? And aside from that, like forgetting about whether it breaks even or not, can there be another one? Now, because we know there's supposed to be a Fast 11, right? If you saw Fast X ends on a cliffhanger, supposed to have Fast 11. And Vin Diesel has even been teasing in the last number of weeks that they were actually going to do Fast X as a trilogy. Fast X, part one, part two, and part three, or Fast 10, 11, and 12. Now, even though it was supposed to be just a two-parter, Fast 10 and 11, he started suggesting that there was going to be a third. So with this movie looking like it's going to lose money, and maybe lose a significant amount of money, I've had some people writing in today asking, are they even going to make 11? So I have some thoughts about that. And we talked about a little bit on the podcast earlier today, but here are my general thoughts on it. First, do I think 11 is going to happen? Yes, I do think 11 is going to happen. I just think with this franchise, you just never know, right? I mean, yeah, maybe this one lost money, but that doesn't automatically mean the next one's going to lose money. Listen, Fast and the Furious for Universal Pictures has represented one of their most consistent money-making films they've ever had in the history of the studio, right? So why would you bet the farm against it? They probably already spent a lot of money on developing Fast 11. They probably already got a lot of things scheduled for Fast 11, probably. They probably got a script for Fast 11, probably done. Not like it takes a long time to write a script for a Fast and the Furious movie. Granted, they could probably do it over lunch at Denny's. But still, that said, I do believe, regardless of whether this movie is able to break even or falls short and loses money, I believe Fast 11 is going to happen. But while I believe that, I also believe two other things. The first thing that I also believe is that while I believe Fast 11 is going to happen, I don't believe there's any chance in hell it's going to happen at the budget that maybe Vin Diesel and the producers originally thought they were going to be able to make Fast 11 for. They spent a record-shattering $340 million to make Fast 10. And if this movie ends up losing money, there's no way the folks at Universal are going to say, yeah, go ahead, make the next one for $350 million or $360 million or hell, $300 million. We get it, Vin. You got your 25 cast members who are all family and you want to pay them all super well, but we're going to have to reel this in a little bit. We're going to have to reel it in a bit. So yeah, I think 11 is going to happen, but it ain't going to happen at a $340 million budget. No way Universal is going to let that happen. I guarantee you there are meetings happening already where the bad news is being broke.
if it follows in the way of Transformers, okay, the first Transformers came out and then I think three of them came out after that.
Yeah.
And then I think it was the fifth one where that had the huge drop off.
The last night is the one that took a huge drop off.
So with the Fast, it's happened way early. No. It happened way later, right?
What's that?
It happened way later. Like we're on the 9th, 10th film, right?
Yeah, Fast X. Yeah, we're on the 10th film.
So if we're going by that, then the next movie should be Bumblebee-like.
I doubt it because the drop started happening.
I don't know if anyone understands me, but I think I know what
I'm saying. The drop started happening in Fast 9. Remember, Fast 9 took a big drop.
Oh, right.
And it went down to 700 and something.
So this movie was supposed to be Bumblebee.
Yes, this was supposed to be Bumblebee.
Then it's downhill from here, baby.
But you know what? Listen, give credit where it's due. Like, I crap talk on Fast X a bunch, but I always want to make sure I throw in that there are redeemable things in this movie. There are good things about Fast X, right? Like, I thought the car action stuff was really good. The hand-to-hand combat stuff was great. I really like Jason Momoa in the movie. There are redeemable things about this movie.
Fast X. It's redeemable.
It's redeemable.
Go see it.
Fast X. Hey, it's better than Fast 9. And it's true. It is better than Fast 9.
You know what? If they found somewhere in the year where there was nothing surrounding it, like a release, where there's nothing the week before, nothing the week, whatever.
A release desert.
Yeah, like an island to itself.
It still would have lost money.
It still would have lost
money. I mean, listen, yeah, that's the thing. What I think the box office, I said this earlier, what I think the box office of Fast 10 is moviegoers' referendum on what they thought of Fast 9. I really do.
Yeah, yeah.
I really believe that if Fast 9 was not the giant bag of cat shit that it was, I believe Fast X is making money right now. And but I think Fast 9 just kind of sunk the boat.
And what's sad is it positioned itself within these good movies, which makes it really sad. It exposes it more.
Yeah, I'm a Fast and Furious fan, man.
Yeah, yeah, but when it's
surrounded by
Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse,
John Wick 4, all those things that have come out, and then people don't talk about this movie.
Yeah,
when everyone was talking about all the
other
movies
before. At least not talk about it the way they wanted it to be talked about.
It's dead in the water.
So again, there's two things that I think are going to happen. Number one, I think Universal, three things are going to happen. Number one, there is going to be an 11. Number two, there's going to be an 11, but it's going to be a much smaller budget. And number three, forget Fast 12. Like, I know Vin was talking about it. Oh, we're going to do Fast X trilogy. Yeah, no, you're not. Universal's not going to greenlight that at this point. I mean, look, who knows? Dwayne The Rock Johnson is doing a buffer film in between Fast 10 and Fast 11, right? Hey, if that film all of a sudden makes $900 million, maybe Fast and Furious is back on the menu. I don't know.
And that will hurt this movie more because people want to see Dwayne Johnson in this franchise, not off on his own, right? Like,
well, he is. Look, they went to see...
Hobbs
and Shaw made $760 million.
No, but I meant what the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Hobbs and Shaw isn't the Fast and Furious franchise.
No, but I mean this one, Fast X, Fast 11. Fast 11 would do way better if Dwayne Johnson was part of it.
Oh, yeah, but he's not going to be in it.
See, that's the problem.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, and you know, it's also no big surprise that you started to see, I don't think it's totally coincidental, that the Fast X or the Fast and Furious movie started, you know, dropping their box office returns the moment Dwayne Johnson stopped being in them. I mean, again, there are some extenuating circumstances, yes, but still, Hobbs and Shaw made more money than Fast 9 did. Now, again, there are extenuating circumstances, 100%, but even with the extenuating circumstances, you wouldn't think that a spinoff movie would make more than one of the prime franchise movies. So yes, to answer the question, do I think there will be a Fast 11? Yes, I do think they'll still do Fast 11. It just ain't going to be $340 million Fast 11. That's it. All right, guys. Hey, listen, with that out of the way, let's get over to the real reason why we're here, which is to take your thoughts, comments, opinions. The mic is yours. It is an open mic, if you will. So let's hear from you guys, and let's start with the questions you guys sent in on the tip link there. What do we got here, Jonathan?
First off, we got Jay Bling, who writes, just to clarify, do you think Chris Morgan should join Christina Hodson and Oren Uziel on Fast X Part 2 or replace them? I ask because as writers, Hodson and Uziel are new to the franchise, and Deadline said that Universal hired them for that very reason.
Yeah, and listen, and I didn't think it was a bad hire, but Morgan is the one that's had the most success as a writer. Morgan's also the one who wrote Hobbs and Shaw. And I, listen, Hobbs and Shaw wasn't going to win any Academy Awards, don't get me wrong, but it was a fun little movie. I enjoyed it. And his
tribal chief?
With the tribal chief, that's
no,
right.
No, it's me.
Although, oddly enough, he didn't say that in the movie.
He should have.
Yeah, might have made more. But, I mean, he also wrote some of the best Fast and the Furious movies, in my opinion. I just think he should come in and just write the script, period. I think that's they should drop whatever point of development they're at. They should just drop it, go to Chris and say, we need you to write 11, and then see where they go from there. All right, what's next?
All right, we've got Swanson Burgundy writes, it's a three-parter. After Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I'm now done trying to go watch a movie at a theater. That was the third terrible experience in a row.
Oh, no.
All different theaters and chains and days of the week. I can put up with trailers. I'll get over costly subpar snacks. But I can't put up with crowds being allowed to act how they want and theaters doing little to nothing to enforce etiquette. Phones, vapes, loud conversations being yelled at after you kindly ask someone if their child would stop kicking your seat.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, where do you live?
Where do you live?
What is this place? It sounds like hell. I voiced my concerns to the managers, but I couldn't help but think they gave up on trying. This feels like the norm now. Even if I'm the a-hole that they removed, then that's fine because at least I'll learn a lesson and I'll know they're at least trying.
You know, here's the thing. I mentioned on one of our episodes recently that the movie magic really happens in a theater filled with people, the laughing together, the gasping together, the cheering together, the crying together, like all that stuff completely heightens. My experience watching Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was incredibly heightened by the audience I got to watch it with. It was really fun and enjoyable. Now, the flip side of that coin is that the audience can also detract from your experience. And you know what's funny? Normally doing this show, I hear from film fans all over the world. And quite often when they write in to talk about certain experiences, at least maybe it's not an experience I've had myself, but I can relate. I can understand, right? I'll say, oh yeah, that happened to me once or something like that. I go to the movies hundreds of times a year. I walk into the movie theaters hundreds of times a year. I don't have these experiences. And it's not like I go to the posh movie theaters. I mean, Frank, I'm in Los Angeles. Yeah. And even when I was still in Canada, like maybe one out of every 20 times I would go to the movie, I would like something truly legitimately disruptive would have. And it really sucks, man, when somebody like you, maybe it's just the bad luck of the draw. Maybe you live in Buffalo. By the way, I love my friends in Buffalo. I grew up next to Buffalo, so we'd always make fun of Buffalo. But I love my friends in Buffalo. I don't know whether it's just a bad luck of the draw, whatever, but I just, as somebody goes to theaters hundreds of times a year, maybe once or twice a year, I actually have what I would consider to be a truly disruptive experience in the theaters from somebody. So I'm just aghast at that.
And I don't mean to sound offensive or whatever, but like when he mentions a kid kicking his chair, it doesn't sound like that happens when you're in like the Prime Theater or whatever, because the chairs are so far apart. I know it's a big price difference.
Well, that was only one of the problems, though. That wasn't only problem. I mean, he had a lot of other problems, too.
If he finds that problem, maybe he needs to treat himself one day and go into the reclining.
But again, I mean, it sucks because I love watching movies with a big crowd. And my experience is practically always really positive. And again, I keep going. I keep going. I just don't see it like this. So I don't know if you just got the bad luck of the draw or whatever, but that truly sucks, man. I'm yeah, sorry to hear that.
Remind me never to go to a theater with you, man.
Yeah, never go to the movies with you. All right, what's next?
All right, Nintendo Pictures Updates writes, the studio they acquired made hit animation films in Japan. CEO assured shareholders in Q&A, future films will be under Nintendo Pictures. If a different studio distributes, what's the money breakdown? P.S., did you see Justin Trudeau fanboy over Andor? Ooh, mama.
Well, Justin Trudeau is Prime Minister of Canada, huge Star Wars fan. Like every Halloween, him and his wife and their kids, they dress up in Star Wars costumes, stuff like that. Love it. I mean, they can say that now. Trying to make a movie for the North American audience and the global audience scale is going to be a different thing. I think you're going to see Mario 2 done by Illumination. I think you're probably going to see some other studios put in there. As that aside, even if they tried to make their own movie in-house, which I'm telling you what, Nintendo is setting themselves up for disaster. If Nintendo, with hardly any experience whatsoever, starts to just try to make their own movies, they are setting themselves up for disaster. Sony can do it because Sony's been making movies for lifetimes. If Nintendo tries to start doing that now, I'm telling you right now, they are setting themselves up for an absolute shit fest of a disaster. But let's say they do. Let's say they're stupid and they decide to do that. Then they're going to have to get a distributor because they have no distribution network. They're going to have to work with a distributor, whether that is Universal, who they obviously worked with for Mario, whether it's one of the other big distributors. Fine. So yeah, then the money gets divvied up. The distributor will have most control over the movie because it's the distributor. The production company makes the movies. The distributor then are the ones who are in control of its fate. The distributor decides where does the movie go, how many theaters does it play in, which markets does it play in, and when. What streaming services does it then go to? When does it go to VOD and all that kind of stuff? That's the distributor's prerogative. And so they're going to have to hand that over anyway. I, in all honesty, like, full congrats to Nintendo for the hit of Mario. But that's one. If you get lucky with one, and it's great, I love the Mario movie, I do, but if you get lucky with one, don't start thinking, oh well, we can just do all this ourselves. You're shit in the bed if you do.
Could you see Mario and the big boys staying under Nintendo with Illumination, but then all the little things they want to try to be handled by this smaller studio they bought?
But
can they do something like that?
But then what are we talking about with little things? Like things that
like,
are just
like, little,
go
like little
streaming?
Properties that aren't known, but they want to make movies of.
Well, first of all, they try to just make like the little
Kirby.
Unknown Kirby, right? That's never going to go to theaters. No one's going to go see it. I mean, because it's not Mario.
Kirby,
right?
On Apple TV
yeah.
Plus.
Yeah, but that's exactly.
Nintendo.
Like if they want to make some little stuff that goes direct to Peacock or direct to Netflix or something like that, yes, I can totally see that happening. But if they want to make a $175 million
yeah,
movie,
they gotta stick with Illumination,
I think for now they'd be total jackasses to think, oh, we made one movie that we didn't even really make. We made it with these other people. We can just do it ourselves now. I don't know. I think it would be a mistake. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they crush it. Maybe they absolutely destroy it. And that would be amazing. But yeah, I think it'd be a mistake. All right, what's next?
By the way, Mario and the Big Boys sounds like a doo-wop band from the 50s. Spider Brandon writes, hi, John. I've been following your show for 2 months, you and me both. I can't wait to see Spider-Verse 2 with my friend next weekend. I'm most excited for Spider-Punk, Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, and PlayStation Spider-Man.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny who does or does not appear in the film, but you are in for a good time.
Yeah.
You're in for a really good... Look, you may not think it's one of the best movies of the year. You may not think it's one of the greatest comic book films of all time, but I feel pretty damn confident saying you're going to enjoy it. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Not how much do you like it. It's, did you like it? When I go into a movie, I don't worry about, will this be as good as The Godfather? I don't ask. I just go into a movie always thinking, I just want to have a good time. Can this movie just give me a good movie? And I feel pretty confident you're going to walk out happy, I think. All right, what's next?
All right, we've got Audie Ash who writes, hey, John and company, I sent in two questions on May 29th, one about TMNT and one about High Evolutionary Kang. Neither were mentioned on the main pod or open mic this week. Wanted to know if there's another pod it could have been discussed on or if
well,
it was
first
skipped.
Of all, guys, when that's it's pointless to write that in here like that. Like it's kind of pointless to do that. The best thing to do is just to email me directly. 9 times out of 10, when people write and said, hey, my question didn't get answered. 9 times out of 10, when I search, I go, oh, yes, it was answered on this time, at this time, at this time. 1 out of every 10 times, maybe half of one out of every 10 times, it actually did accidentally get skipped over. And then half out of one every 10 times, it's like, there was something in there that we could not ask openly, either because there was a spoiler thing in it or something along those lines. But again, if that ever happens, it's pointless to write to me here. The best thing to do is just to write it. That probably shouldn't have even got through here. So the best thing to do is to email me directly. All right.
That was all Ray's fault.
That was all Ray. All
right, well, I will say though, Adi, I think we may have, honestly, it was about like the actor who played High Evolutionary, could he play Kang? And I'm pretty sure we did answer that.
Yeah, maybe that might have been somebody else asking the question, true, right? But I know we did answer that
maybe
question.
That's why I got
confused. Yeah, I remember we did answer that question.
All right, Willoughby Sting writes, Disney hasn't really impressed for some big event recently, Comic-Con, D23, Star Wars Celebration at CinemaCon.
No, well, I'll stop the question. We'll get back to the question in a second. Because Disney fucking sucks at it. Disney is awful at it. All right. Just be clear about that. All right. Please continue.
All right. So, yeah. And CinemaCon. Do you think Disney will try and put a stronger showcase of projects at Comic-Con? Or with the strikes, will this be another one they coast through?
Wait.
What?
Are you really trying to ruin my first trip to Star Wars Galaxy right now?
When are you going to Star Wars Galaxy?
I just haven't seen it. Come
on. We're not talking about Star Wars Galaxy. We're talking
about Disney.
Events.
You keep saying about Disney.
Well, are a bunch of assholes. I don't care. But no, Star Wars Galaxy fun. You're going to have a good time at Star Wars Galaxy, okay? I think Star Wars Galaxy is a good
time. Be allowed by the time we're done here.
Yeah, no. Like, you can't
wait a minute.
Fun.
Don't you work with the John Cavan Show? Banned. that being said, no, Star Wars Galaxy is a lot of fun. It is. I
bet it is. I imagine it all the time.
Then why don't you go? Your sister's invited you like a dozen times.
It's always full, and you guys tell me about how you got to reserve things. You got to do
this. Just tell her you want to go with her next time. She'll book you.
No, she
won't. She won't. Anyway,
go ahead.
Yes, when it comes to the live events, their Star Wars celebrations have sucked ass for years. Their pathetic D23 was exactly that pathetic. They were the worst showing at CinemaCon this year. For whatever reason, they've just, you know, they came down with a case of the dumb. They're just, that's it. Everybody over there got a really big sexually transmitted disease of dumb.
Oh my God.
Just huge pandemic of dumb that has swept through that thing. I think Bob Chapek was patient zero. I think when Bob Chapek came in, he spread dumb everywhere. What's that?
Did you sit on something today? Where's that Deadpool statue? Where'd it go?
What is that? Is that like, do you get like a dumb discharge? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, he had the diarrhea and just dumbed everywhere. Shit, there's a hallway. Don't go down that hallway, man. It's covered in Chapek dumb. Anyway.
What are we talking about? Okay. So
do I think they will go big at Comic-Con? I think I wouldn't count on much, and I don't even blame them for this. I think you're right. I think the writer's strike is kind of in a position that it's going to sour a lot of things. I think probably James Gunn had a lot of big things planned for DC at Comic-Con, and I wonder how much they're actually going to be able to do. They may decide not to go out of respect to the writer's strike. Again, we don't know how long the writer's strike will go, all that kind of stuff. We'll just have to
wait. Let's say everything is clear, right? I don't even think Disney would be the big showing at this.
I think it would be DC.
It would be, it would be James Gunn. I'm looking for him to be firing his guns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, metaphorically.
Yeah, yes. Metaphorically.
Yeah, metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
You don't want to get demonetized.
That's another reason they'd get the headlines. Yeah. All right, what's next?
All right, Joe Cool writes, question for everyone in the room. What was the first movie that exposed you to nudity? Mine was Revenge of the Nerds. I was sitting in between my grandparents. For me, I would say it's probably Porky's Revenge.
Ooh, yeah. I think mine was a movie with Dabney Coleman, and I can't remember who else was in the movie. It is a non-classic called Young Doctors in Love. I think that was the first with, and Dabney Coleman was one of the guys called Young Doctors in Love.
I know what mine is.
You do know about this movie?
No, I know what mine is. No, I've never known about that movie ever in my life. I would ever. Tango and Cash.
There's nudity in it?
The beginning where the guy's making out with the girl and then you see her boot or like her thing, like Tango and Cash. I believe it was Tango and Cash with Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
It was just like the first 15 seconds. Of the movie.
For me, yeah, it was either Porky's Revenge or it was like Logan's Run, something like that.
Actually, let's go to my NDI. I don't know if you got my NDI.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Here it is.
Doctors in Love.
Young Doctors in Love.
What in the hell? Is this loved in the time of COVID?
It was a comedy. It was a comedy. It was a raunchy comedy at the time. Rated R, you can see down there.
Oh, man.
There must have man, what does it say there on the warning? There's a warning that says, warning, this movie may be...
dangerous to your health. You may never stop laughing. Stupid.
Do-do-do-do. Young doctors in love, ladies and gentlemen. That was, I think those were my first boobies. I think that was that. All right.
I'm about to get that on a shirt for you.
You know what, guys? Before we go any, speaking of boobies, before we go any further... How's that? Segway master. We're going to take a second and thank one of the sponsors of our episode. Man, I bet they wish they had these guys on the set of Young Doctors in Love, our friends at Manscaped. Uh-oh. Father's Day is right around the corner and you haven't gotten your dad anything yet? Don't worry. That's where our sponsors, Manscaped, come in. You and I both know he needs some serious grooming in his life, so grab your dad the Performance Package 4.0 and he'll thank you for helping him tame that beastly hair. Go to manscaped.com and use code CAMPIA for 20% off plus free shipping. Guys, I don't know if your dad's anything like mine, but where my dad lacks some hair on top of his head, believe me, he makes up for it everywhere else on his body, and Manscaped is perfect for him. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below the waist grooming and perfected their game with the Lawnmower 4.0. This is the perfect gift, presenting a sleek, well-designed, and optimized grooming kit that says your balls will thank you right on the box. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. This upgraded trimmer includes a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. This is great for any guy who does a lot of traveling. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Haven't you always wanted to be able to shave your balls in the dark? And come on, guys, almost all of our dads have that nose bush sticking out of their nose, right? Well, the Weed Whacker 2.0, the nose and ear hair trimmer, is the best nose trimmer on the market and the perfect gift for your dad. Guys, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code CAMPIA. Don't forget, you came from your dad's balls, so this year, show your original home some love with Manscaped. And thank you to our friends at Manscaped in our original home for watching this episode here on the John Campy YouTube channel.
Oh, I just looked at the live chat and I'm like, what are all these like vomit emojis and stuff? Like, oh yeah, right. I see what we're playing.
All right. Let's keep going here. What's next?
All right. Final one of the tips here is from, is it B. Wayne or Boyne?
B. Wayne, New York.
Yeah. So after years of, in my opinion, horrible marketing, Netflix has finally come up with a great few funny campaigns. Arnold is their new chief action officer, introducing all the new Netflix shows and movies. Now I'll finally get to know when Old Guard 2 airs. Thoughts?
You know, I don't know what their ongoing plan is. I just saw the one commercial that they
did. Was it on where?
On Netflix with Arnold, yeah.
Oh, the commercial plays on Netflix.
Well, actually, no, I don't think it was playing on Netflix. I think it played somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And Arnold was talking about how now he's the chief action officer, right? We I'll bring the action. It's a really good commercial. I mean, listen. Netflix is the worst for they're very, very poor about marketing and publicizing their own content coming on. But this was a good move. It made me interested and excited to see what they might have coming. So well done. Well done, Netflix. All right. What's next?
All right.
Are you crying?
It's so beautiful.
Are you crying for Netflix?
It's so beautiful.
All right. So we got Bobby Jackson up first. For me, popcorn is a nacho cheese delivery system instead of butter. A butter one. I'll get a couple of those nacho cheese cups and dip my popcorn in it.
Because one of my favorite popcorn flavors is actually cheddar popcorn. Yeah. But like, so I could totally see that. Just taking popcorn in the raw and giving it a little dippy dip.
Raw and going from popcorn.
There, man, that's what you got to go to the movie theater with the t-shirt that says, I like it raw. And you're talking about what? Popcorn. I'm talking about popcorn. What's the problem? Anyway. Okay. What's next?
Suthius writes, when Johnny comes marching home is a classic wartime song. Sometimes it used in movies and shows. Yeah. Best usage of it, in my opinion, is the background music when Simon's group breaks into the Federal Reserve in Die Hard 3.
Which, I
forgot about that one.
I'm Canadian. What's the music?
It's like, when Johnny come marching home again, hurrah. Ba-ba.
Oh, I didn't, I had.
It's a Civil War song.
I had no idea. I didn't even know that had a name. Ba-da-ba-bum, ba-bum, 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 I had no idea. See, I learned something new every day. Mm-hmm. But my American history. A Canadian on American soil learning about American history. I know, you're right. I like that piece of music when it's used in the right place, like that very place you mentioned. It's actually really effective. It's done very well. All right. What's next?
Okay, Brandon writes, the new Apple VR headset looks jaw-dropping. This is the VR technology we've been waiting for. Well, I haven't been waiting, but the way you can watch movies and shows on this is a dream for film fans. Only downside is that it's, yeah, that's the only downside. It's $3,500. Plus, I'm sure a service fee every month.
Listen, listen. I have a MacBook right in front of me. My phone is an iPhone. My tablet is an iPad. My desktop computer in there is a Mac Studio.
Okay.
I also have a PC, even though I prefer Android. But, and I own some shares in Apple.
So, your point, you bought it.
I think this thing is a giant waste of money. I'm sorry. I watched a bit of that thing, and I'm like, I don't really see that big of a difference between this and some of the other VR stuff that's been out there that they've been telling me for over 10 years, this is the next big thing. And it's never been. And I'm sorry. I did not see anything in this thing that made me change, like believe that this time it's really going to work. Like, oh, this time it's going to work. And then it doesn't. This time it's going to work. And then it doesn't. This time it's going to work. And then it doesn't. Now along comes Apple. Now, usually Apple is the company. If anybody's going to make it work, it's Apple. Yeah. But I listened to a lot of tech podcasts, and I was listening to a tech podcast this weekend called This Week in Mac. Mm-hmm. Mac Break Weekly is the name of the podcast. And they brought up a really good point. They were talking about it, and it was like they basically said, if this doesn't work, then that's it for VR headsets.
Oh yeah.
One's gonna take another crack at it for like 10 years, because if Apple can't make it work, if at $3,500
with that money, I'm buying a computer.
I think
you could buy 10 Facebook Quests. That's what it's called, right?
The Oculus.
Oculus, whatever it's called. You could buy 10 of them for that.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of Apple credit card signups in the near future. Get that financing. I just see that happening with anything that they introduced during this thing, because things are expensive right now.
But here's the thing, like, they also introduced the new Mac Studio with the M2 Ultra, right? That thing's going to run you probably, if you spec it right, not full spec'd out, but if you spec it right, it's going to cost you about $4,000.
Yeah.
But you can earn a living with that machine.
Right.
You can do your work and your job and your hobbies and be creative and make an income and do all the stuff you do for your profession. That thing will actually make you money. I get that. I don't understand. I won't pay $700 for a headset, let alone $35. But I don't know. Maybe somebody from Apple can give me a really good demo, and maybe I'll change my mind.
Boobies. Have you seen Apple boobies?
I'll take two.
Have you seen Apple boobies?
They're going to demo Doctors in Love.
Give me two. I'll take two of them right now.
How many can I buy all at once? What's the limit?
Oh, my God.
Can I stack these?
Okay.
What's it called again? The Apple what? It's called, it's not the headset. It's called the Apple Vision or something like that.
Vision. There you go. That's like, a great name.
With Mac iOS boobs. I mean, that's their demo. Sold. All the idiot guys in the world. All of us stupid men.
What
like,
are you calling an idiot?
We all are. My boobs. We are all idiots. Come on. Let's call what it is. We're all pretty stupid when it comes to this stuff.
We're all the same.
We're all the same.
Okay, let's go. This is really
Murray Reich has a two-parter here.
Oh, sorry, Murray Reich.
When I saw your discussion on Spider-Verse 2, I also had the same issue yesterday with the audio sound. When I went to go see the film, I thought it was the AMC theater I was at that had the issue. I couldn't hear many of the dialogue throughout the film, and it was a standard screening room. Definitely was a great film. I'm glad I'm seeing it in a Dolby Cinema.
Yeah, you're going to have a problem. For whatever reason, I've heard in IMAX is perfectly fine. Uh-huh. I've heard in some others, but I think there is a problem with a certain audio mix that maybe for the Dolby Atmos systems. What?
No, I'm just saying. The only audio issues I ran into were just in like the first 30 minutes. I didn't notice anything after that. It happened right in the beginning where I was like, whoa.
Yeah, like the movie starts and like a lot of the opening of the movie is Gwen. And she's talking and I could barely hear what she was saying.
That whole thing.
Yeah, and then for the rest of the movie, it was mostly good. But every once in a while, some conversation would start to happen. And I'm like, wait, what? It didn't happen often after the beginning. But yeah, there's a significant audio issue. But again, I heard from a number of people who had that. But then people who are like at Regal or at an IMAX in AMC were saying that it was perfectly fine. So I'm suspecting, just suspecting, it might be an Atmos sound mix issue, because the Atmos sound system is used in the AMC Prime Dolby Cinemas and all the Dolby Cinemas, but it's also used in some regular houses as well, that they just use the Atmos. And I just, again, I have no proof of this. I'm just speculating and theorizing that maybe it's a bad Atmos mix.
Is that something that can be fixed, or have you ever heard of something?
Yeah, it can be fixed.
Okay. In the era, now that we live in this new era where they don't actually have to make new big reels of film and ship them off by truck, they literally just put an upload file on their server. The theaters can just download it, swap it out. So hopefully it's something that they're paying attention to and can fix. All right, what's next?
All right. Luke 1234 writes, do you think VR headsets could end the movie theaters if they can deliver 75 to 80% of the movie going experience? Never underestimate people's laziness.
Here's the thing. They said the exact same thing when television was created. They said the exact same thing when computers were created. They said the exact same thing once VHS tapes came along. They said the exact same things when DVDs came along. They said the exact same thing when streaming came along. It's like every time somebody sneezes out a new idea, everybody first asks, is this the end of movie theaters? And the global pandemic hit and said this. No. Listen, I'll be honest with you. When it comes to watching, to me, movies are events, right? You sit on your fucking ass every other day of the week in your living room, watching whatever. When it comes to like a big event movie, you just want to do the same thing you do every fucking night. Like that's why, I was talking to a buddy of mine about that. I said, you just want to do the same thing you do every fucking night. Just sit on the same, you're on your same ass in the same couch, blah, blah. I don't want to do that. I want to go to a movie that when I'm watching Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I want to be in that theater with 400 other people. When I go to see Flash, I want to be in the theater with 400 other people cheering and screaming and yelling and having a great time. And there's just nothing that a home video product will ever be able to do to replicate that. They can try to simulate it, but they'll never be able to replicate it.
I will say this, like when I first got that MetaQuest, you know, like they were advertising concerts that you could be at and watch, right?
Yeah, I've seen those.
And I thought that that's cool, but you do one, you do two, you start thinking about, it would be so much cooler if I was actually with real people. Like, you know, the experience of being with people can never be replaced by a VR.
I mean, I did the same thing. The Oculus or the Meta Quest, that I had one. Actually, I had two of them. But, you know, I did the whole thing where I load up the theater mode and you watch it. Now, granted, the Apple product is probably better.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still, it's just, okay, this is a cool, neat little novelty. You're sitting there with this thing on your face and you're, okay. Yeah. But will that replace? No.
Or if they provide something that you can't get anywhere else, an experience you can't get in theater or any just from that headset, it will win somewhat.
Like if it tickles your testicles or something.
I don't know what it
is.
Apple will think of something to make it different.
Manscaped actually has like specialized apps.
Manscaped and Apple Vision combined.
Well, they have training.
For the ultimate home experience.
Yeah, well, Manscaped has new training videos coming out.
All right, what's next?
Hey, side note, have you guys gotten this with your AMC? This is the first time I've ever gotten this, but because I'm going to see Spider-Verse tonight. And I got like a please confirm your attendance like notification from AMC.
Please confirm your attendance?
Yeah. And it says, I don't know if you can.
I've never had that.
Hey, watch out.
That's fine. There's nothing personal on there. But it just says, are you going to be attending? Yes, I'll be there, or no cancel reservation.
Have you ever skipped out on any reservations before?
Yeah, but they wouldn't know that. Well, I guess they would because
they would.
Under your file. Yeah. Maybe they're just.
Because they can tell if you
they'll
check
give
in
you
or
three strikes, maybe.
I've been marked.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Maybe you are.
But
that
here's
might be one of those things.
I have personally never seen that, but I could see them doing that. Let's say if the showing you're going to tonight is now sold out.
Yeah.
If the showing you're going to is now sold out, maybe they send out to their reservation, like AMC A-list reservation people, say, hey, are you sure you're coming? Because if not, we have other people waiting to get these seats.
What if the app is actually detecting his location right now? And he's like, oh, wait, he's really far from the theater.
Are you coming?
Are you still coming? It could
right
be. There's possible, right?
It's true.
That's kind of scary, though.
That's not the craziest thing I've heard.
Because it does probably
like,
does
you're
track
really
your location.
Far from the theater. Are you going to make it?
Well, that's
you have reservations at the AMC Beijing tonight. Are you sure you're coming?
Yeah, maybe we Gucci.
All right, what's next?
All right. Ulatan writes, since Lord and Miller are in the WGA and support the writer's strike, are they not working on Beyond the Spider-Verse since it's in production right now?
Well, just they're. It has nothing to do with writing. They just can't write. If you're a member of the WGA and you work at Cold Stone Ice Cream place, you can still go and scoop ice cream because it has nothing to do with your writing responsibilities. What Lord and Miller could not do right now as members of the WGA is write for the movie, but the movie's already written and well into production. Yep. It's well into production now. So
just putting it together, I think.
Yeah. So as long as it doesn't have anything to do with their writing responsibilities,
right?
They're not on strike from anything in life. They're on strike from writing and doing any responsibilities connected to their writing. But if the writing is done, they may proceed. All right, what's next?
John Redcorn writes, Little Mermaid is at $326 million and it needs over $600 million to break
even. That's not true, by the way. It does not need over $600 million to break even.
And I don't even know if it's at $326, but do you think it'll get there? And if not, what's the future of Disney remakes?
I do believe it is around $326 at this point. I think it really needs to get – I believe it needs to get to $450 to break even.
It's at $328.
It's at $328.
Worldwide.
Right. Yeah. It actually just had a really good weekend. It only dropped 57%. I made a video last week predicting that it would drop 65%, opening up with Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse opening. So I said, this is not going to be good for Little Mermaid. It's going to drop 65%. It only dropped 57%, which is not bad. The big problem that Little Mermaid is having is, number one, it's one of the most popular movies for Americans right now. Like, Americans are going to see the film. The movie's made almost $200 million just in America alone.
Yep, 186, and international, 141.
And after today, it's probably going to be over 200 in America. I mean, a lot more Americans have gone to go see it than Fast X.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the international market, right? This movie's not performing on the overseas market at all. So whether it can get, and by the way, it does not need $600 million to get there, but even at 450, and maybe the truth is somewhere in between 450 and 600, but even if it was as low as 450, I'm not 100% convinced it does. I'm not 100% convinced it gets there. I mean, Americans are going to see it and it's making its money domestically, but it's just the overseas market isn't doing it. And that's really too bad because according to the, you know, it's got an A cinema score. And of course, cinema score literally talks to people as they're coming out of the movie theater. Those are 100% verified people who have seen the movie. And it's got an A cinema score. And the Rotten Tomatoes audience score, the verified scores, which are people that they confirm that through Fandango and AMC and Regal, that they actually bought tickets to the movie, not just randos going, oh yeah, I saw Little Mermaid, it sucks. You never actually saw the movie. The verified audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is 95%. It's a good little movie. I don't think it's going to be a top 10 movie of the year or anything, but it's a good little movie. It deserves to break even, but I'm not convinced it will. And it won't be because of the North American box office, because people are going to see it here. Just the overseas markets aren't going to see it. All right, what's next?
Okay, we got Ricky Bizarro who writes, hey, John, I should have clarified during Spider-Verse stream, Metro Boomin is a producer. He is responsible for every song in the film, not the score. Hype around the album made the film's cultural impact even greater, in my opinion.
I've never heard of him.
He is so popular right now. If you look him up on YouTube, he has these collaborations with a lot of big artists, and they're like millions of views. I mean, I've just heard of him recently, and he really does good music. I mean, he knows what his lane is.
Right. Well, I'm sure I'm not breaking his heart by saying I've never heard of him.
No.
I'm willing to bet a good shiny dollar that he's never heard of me.
And I'm pretty sure you're you're listening to something or have listened to something that he's had fingers on.
So, I'm sure. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. All right.
Also, that was from Ricky. That was a $20 super chat.
Oh, thank you so much, Ricky. Appreciate that, man.
Christopher Brickner writes, Bob Chapek's tenure as CEO was, I don't know why I said it like that, was impressive. Even without COVID, he took Disney from its 19 height in parks, film, like live events, et cetera, and ran them straight into the ground in 2.5 years. That's impressive.
Look, you all know that I think Bob Chapek was a terrible CEO for Disney, right? But we also have to be fair. Not everything was Bob Chapek's fault. And again, I always like to point this out because everybody knows I don't think he was very good, but it is not a small thing to remember that when Chapek took over Disney, he took over the company in the worst possible circumstances. And that was right as the pandemic was beginning, right? You are now in charge of a global entertainment, movie, and park experience company. When there are no movies being made, no movies playing in theaters, and your parks are shut down. Can you possibly think of a more apocalyptic set of circumstances for a CEO to take over a company? He took over. And listen, I will always give credit where it's due that that was a tough, tough, tough hand to be dealt. And I don't think there are many people who could have stepped in under those circumstances and been very successful. Now, that doesn't change the way he handled, first of all, his company power structure reorganization was that of a buffoon. The way he handled the Scarlett Johansson situation, idiotic. The way he handled the way he depowered the creative people and replaced them with bankers and money men, idiotic. I mean, there were a lot of dumb things that Chapek did, but at the same time, I come short of blaming everything on him because again, I don't know how much better of a job a lot of other people would have done given the circumstances under which he took over the company. So accountability, yes, got fired, deservedly so. But let's not blame everything on him because it was a tough hand he got dealt. All right, what's next?
Okay, Raymond Verada writes, it was sad to hear about the layoffs at Pixar. Everybody wanted to work for them. Everyone stayed long years unless you wanted to do your own stuff. I studied under director Angus McLean. Great guy. Oh, wow.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, it's also part of the reality of corporate America, right? I mean, if money is tight, they'll downsize and people, sometimes there's going to be layoffs. I mean, it's part of the reality of it. And Disney announced, and it's everywhere across Disney, they had to lay off 3% of their workforce. Now, 3%, Chris Carr was mentioning this earlier today, not, you know, on one hand, it doesn't look like a big percentage of people, but when you're a company as big as Disney, that's 7,000 people. And it was going to touch, when you get into numbers like 7,000, it's going to touch every branch of your company. So I guarantee you, Disney Pictures, Disney Animation, Pixar, Lucasfilm, Marvel, National Geographic, whatever, parks, experiences, cruises, merchandising, I guarantee you every aspect, every branch of Disney probably got touched by this. All right, listen, guys. We got more questions to go, but before we do, we're going to take another minute here and thank a couple more sponsors to today's episode of the John Campia Show's Open Mic, our friends at Honey, and my mobile service provider, Mint Mobile. Today's episode of the John Campia Show is brought to you by Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Guys, more and more, we enjoy shopping online, whether it's on our phones or our computers. And how many times have you gotten to the checkout and seen that promo code box and thought, man, if I only had a promo code, I could save some money? Well, thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. So here's the situation. You're shopping online on one of your favorite sites. And when you go to checkout, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Then just wait a few seconds as Honey works its magic and searches for coupons it can find for that site that you're on. And if Honey finds working coupon, just watch the price drop. Recently, Ann and I were hanging out at home one evening and we decided to order in and the Honey button appeared. I was able to apply a coupon and I actually saved like $6 or $7. It was that easy to use. And Honey doesn't just work on your desktop computer. It also works on your iPhone. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Campia. That's joinhoney.com/Campia. We want to thank a sponsor of this video, Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, your utility bills and favorite streaming services, inflation is everywhere. Seriously, make it stop. Thankfully, there's one company out there that's giving you a much needed break. It's Mint Mobile. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. You guys know that ever since I switched to Mint Mobile, I've been saving almost 70% a month over my old phone plan. For people looking for extra savings this year, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. By going online only and eliminating the traditional cost of retail, Mint Mobile passes the significant savings on to you. All of their plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/Campia. That's mintmobile.com/Campia. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Campia. And thank you to our friends at Honey and Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode of John Campia's Open Mic. All right, guys, with that down, let's get back to your questions. Jonathan, what we got up next?
Banjecture is next, and they write, at $3,500, I see now why Nolan Sorrento wanted to add an ad-supported version of the Oasis in Ready Player One. Maybe he wasn't so bad after all.
You know what's funny about the price? There were initial rumors that it was going to be $3,000, to which everybody kind of freaked out. And then new rumors came out that no, it's going to be $2,000, which is still ludicrous, but sounded better than $3,000. When the actual price came out, that was $3,500. Are you effing kidding me? Who is buying these things and why? Like, do you dislike your wife that much that it's you got to go home and slap this thing on?
Yeah, man. It's become a luxury item.
And guys, listen, if you find out your wife is buying these things, you got to wonder what's wrong with you. I got news for you. That's a symptom that there is something wrong with you, my friend.
Oh, wow.
All right. What's next?
I just went deep.
Wow, you're right. Really hurt right now.
All right, Tahito has a two-parter here. In a new clip from The Flash, a bearded Keaton says that Gotham is one of the safest cities in the world.
I saw that.
Makes sense since Keaton is the kind... Why can't I find my cursor? Is the kind of Batman who would succeed in his mission.
I am getting mad at the clips that they're releasing. They don't need to, man. Like, they released the Keaton in the kitchen clip.
No, they do need to.
They do?
Yeah, because last I heard, right now the projections for Flash are, for under normal circumstances, not a bad $75 million for an opening weekend for the Flash. Little Mermaid made $95. I mean, at some point, they're going to start going, okay, we need to crank up the market. We got to come up with more things to get more people in the seats. It's unfortunate, but what good is it if everybody's having a great time at your movie, but nobody went to go see it? Right. So I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying I get it. I'm just saying I understand.
I said earlier, the people who are going to see it are already going.
And by the way, that thing, that little clip,
that doesn't give away anything.
Yeah, I know. That's not a big deal. But that's not getting tickets either, is it?
Maybe. They got to start showing some stuff, I guess. All right. What's next?
All right. Vikas writes, a Fast and or Furious movie written by Chris Morgan and directed by Michael Bay. Thoughts?
No. No.
What was the last Michael Bay movie? The one with Jake Gyllenhaal? What was that one?
Oh,
where they're
ambulance.
Chasing around LA?
Ambulance. That was awful.
Really?
Oh my God. That
even
movie
the chase
was
scene
trailer
and stuff?
Was so bad.
I mean, I said this at the time. I'll say it again. They should have renamed that movie. I'm Michael Bay and I just bought a drone. Whee! That's all this movie is. Like, well, look at me. Use my drone. It's horrible. It had so many giant logic holes. Like, here's an example. Here's an example. They're supposed to be these top-notch bank robbers, right? Never going to get caught. Jake Gyllenhaal literally walks into the bank with no mask on, with security cameras, and they thought they were going to get away with it?
He's a fine boy. He doesn't need a mask.
Like, even if they manage to rip off the bank and get away, it's like, oh, we'll just look at the cameras. Oh, that guy robbed the bank. Let's go pick him up. I mean, but that's not even the most heinous, dumb fuck logic hole in that entire movie.
Wait,
John. So stupid.
It's still in theaters. Come on. It's
ambulance?
Ambulance. It's still in there. In its 233rd week.
I'm watching it sometime.
All right. What's next?
All right. James Argenta writes, with recent Empire magazine cover, do you think the second Ahsoka trailer will come within a week, or will Lucasfilm wait to after 85?
I can't remember off the top of my head. When is the release date for Ahsoka? I mean, I think the answer to that question depends on how far away the Ahsoka, because I honestly can't remember off the top. I'm looking forward to seeing Ahsoka. I just can't remember.
It says August of 23. I don't know the exact day.
Yeah, August 2023.
I don't think it's going to come out this week. I don't think it's going to come out this week. I think
Ahsoka?
Yeah, I don't think that a new trailer for Ahsoka will come out this week.
Oh, okay, okay.
Not with it. Remember, this is not a movie. This is a TV series, and they tend to drop their last marketing and trailers a little bit closer than the movies do. So, again, I don't know that they're not going to drop this week. I'm just guessing, but my guess is they won't drop it this week. All right, what's next?
All right, this next one, just so everyone knows, this was in the trailer. Even I know about this. It's not a spoiler. My Comic Planet writes, my favorite moment in Spider-Verse 2 was when Miles says to Miguel, everyone keeps telling me how my story is supposed to go. Nah, I'm going to do my own thing. Gave me chills. The audience went nuts.
It's a great moment. It's a great moment. And you're right. That dropped in a trailer a while ago before the movie came out. And in context in the movie, it's actually even more powerful. I mean, I think you get the gist of it when you hear the line, everybody keeps telling me how my story is supposed to go, right? And then so you already know what kind of that means. But then when you see it in context in the movie, it just has that much more power. And you're right. It's a fabulous moment in the film. It's really, really good. All right. What's next?
Okay. My Comic Planet's back and says, Disney was voted fifth most polarizing brand in America. Their stock now is lower than it was back in 2014. That sums up the current state of Disney.
Honestly, polls like that never mean anything. They never mean anything. But listen, the Disney Plus gambit has not worked out the way that Disney or any of the major streamers thought it was going to work out. Like, I remember we said this. I remember back when Rob and I would talk about this earlier on, like when all the streaming services were really launching, that they all saw it as some kind of magical pot of gold. You're just going to launch a streaming service and it was just going to be like printing free money. And I don't know if they fully understood. Number one, I mean, they should have understood, they're a big business, just how expensive the hundreds of billions of dollars it costs just to run these things. And then the licensing and the infrastructure and all that kind of stuff. It is a phenomenally expensive thing to do. And I just thought they all just thought it was going to be some magical pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and it's not turned out to be that way. And then for in Disney's case specifically, you had Bob Chapek, who had like was tripling down on all of it and kind of forcing all of his content creators, including Marvel, to just crank out stuff to put out on Disney Plus. And we're going to piss off all of our Pixar creatives by just dumping their movies on Disney Plus. And at the end of the day, they realized, huh, turns out this isn't a good money-making strategy. And now you see them all walking it back. You see Warner Brothers walked it back. You see Peacock walking it back. You see Paramount walking it back. We're now seeing Disney start to walk it back. Listen, it'll be fine. It will. But this has been a pretty rude awakening for a lot of these companies about the magic streaming service idea. There's a reason it took Netflix 15 years to become profitable as a streamer. Everybody forgets that. It wasn't until like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago that they had their first year of profitability, and it took a long ass time to get to it. And there's a reason for that. And so I just thought they thought they could just step in. We're Disney. We're the biggest entertainment brand. And they are. But they thought you could just step in and do this. And that has hurt them and their stock, which is part of the reason why Bob Iger had to come back in. They're downsizing their staff, eliminating 3%. Doing some rollbacks, getting their finances back under the control. They're going to start limiting the amount of stuff. No more 8 Marvel things every single year. Pare that back, get the expenses under control, focus more on quality, all that kind of stuff. They'll be fine. They will be fine. But that's why they're in the situation they're in now.
Not only that, consumers are doing the same thing. They're not getting every streaming service that's available.
Yeah,
they want to get the one or two best ones that are good for them. And Disney Plus just ain't cutting it for some people.
Yeah.
You know? No. And that's a good point, right? Is that I think all the streamers thought everybody would just get everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, we did the math on on our show several times. It's like, look, today getting even not everything, but just getting most of the streaming stuff you want is like 1.4 times more expensive than cable ever was. And I remember back in the day, I was one of the naive people that I wanted a la carte content that I wanted via streaming. That was going to solve the cable problem. And I remember there were smart people at the time saying, you know, it's just going to ultimately cost you just as much, if not more, than cable. And people like me, and there was a lot of people like me going, nah, you're just salty that the old model's going away. It's going to be so much cheaper. It's going to be amazing. Here we are like 12 years later.
Yep. Now you have tears.
And we're now the tears
the
are
tears
falling.
That, no, tears.
No,
tears.
I'm talking real tears.
Ad tears.
Yep.
Free tears.
Now they're back to advertising, marketing, commercials.
I have three. I have Apple, Paramount, and Showtime for the boxing. So it's like $5, $5, $5. That's it. I'm not going over $20 in anything.
That's because you use my stuff.
Yeah. But I only watch your stuff like at midnight, so you guys don't care.
I want to say the one argument to that, and it's not, you're still paying the same amount, whatever, but I still actively go to the different streaming sites, but with cable, I only went to like three channels.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. But again, at the end of the day, if you want to watch all the content you want to watch, like if you want to watch, and who doesn't want to, if you want to watch Ted Lasso,
right?
You got to have Apple TV Plus. You want to watch Mandalorian? You got to have Disney Plus. You want to watch House of the Dragon? You got to have HBO.
You mean Max.
Max.
Max. You got to have Max.
Yeah.
You want to watch
Max of the Dragon.
The Crown? You got to have Netflix. You want to watch, like, you want to watch The Office? Got to have Peacock. You want to watch, I mean, it's become a thing now. It's a FOMO thing now, too. Right? I bet you there are a lot of people out there watching this right now that probably have one of the big streaming services literally for one show that they watch on that service. And I don't think that's rare. I think there's probably a lot of us like that. And yeah, something's got to happen in the near future to get it all under control, I think. Yep. All right, what's next?
Okay, Dance Productions asks, hey, John, did you watch The Idol?
Couldn't pay me enough to do it.
Oh.
Nope, no intention of watching that. Even though it's got Good Canadian Kid The Weeknd in it, I have no intention of watching The Idol. All right, what's next?
My Comic Planet writes, so John, did you put in your pre-order for the $3,500 Apple Vision Pro announced today? Looks like, looks cool, but who's going to pay that much?
My God. I mean, again, I'm tempted to put in an order for the new M2 Ultra Mac Studio. I'm tempted for that because I can actually make money with that thing. I can actually do my job a little better with that thing. I can render faster. I can do all... What the hell is that thing going to do for me?
I told you already. I've already told you the secrets.
The secret sauce.
All y'all that need it, get it.
Boobs. That's it. Right up in your face like this. Uh-huh. If one of my friends comes to me and says I ordered that thing, I'm literally going to sit him down and say, what the hell are you thinking? Why?
He's like,
why? What is this thing going to do for you?
I don't know. Why is it so sweaty?
Why is it so sweaty?
That's the one thing I never understood like about dripping. VR. Like when VR first came out and they went to E3 or CES and they had those rooms where people try it, they weren't changing out the faceplates on those things. I was like, you have the fantasies of the guy before you in your head now. All that sweat was all fantasy. I heard there's a secret room where they showed things that shouldn't be mentioned here, but...
I don't want to know anything about these secret rooms.
I heard that happened, and it's... Wow. Like, I
why
guess...
Why is this headset sticky? Never mind.
I guess. It's really gross when you think about it.
All right, what's next?
Well, more on the headset.
Yeah,
Amin writes, John, Apple just announced their new AR headset. It's incredible. Crazy price, but game changer. We're living in the future. Disney's also a partner.
How is it a game changer?
Because we're living in the future.
I mean, honestly, what... Yeah, on a fundamental level, what does it do that the Meta Quest at $399, fundamentally, what does it do that it didn't do?
I'm going to blow your mind right now.
All right.
Apple changes games.
They do.
I don't know how they did it with this one, but...
But listen, again...
They believe in it enough to charge that much.
I'm just waiting for South Park to make a video, like a movie.
Oh, they already did. They already did on VR.
Oh,
that's what I keep thinking about when John keeps mentioning this Apple thing. I just keep thinking about that South Park episode. It just makes me laugh that someone's going to buy this thing.
Probably. All right, what's next?
Okay, Eddie Burton writes, Dwayne Johnson isn't in Fast 11. Bit of a bummer.
Yeah, apparently that post-credit scene in Fast 10 is to set up his bumper movie in between 10 and 11. Apparently, while Dwayne Johnson gets along with the executives at Universal, I guess him and Vince aren't getting along.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, listen, never say never. Yeah. Crazier things in a world where Jamie Foxx came back to play Electro, anything can happen.
The new.
The new. All right, what's next?
Okay, this is our last one from Amin, who writes, yesterday we got the first episode of the highly anticipated show, The Idol, LOL. Watched it out of curiosity, and oof, it's rough. Plenty of filthy, though.
I mean, that's why one of the reviews, one of the very first reviews I read of that is, what's the name of the girl again? Lily Rose Depp?
Oh, Lynn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that, yeah, Depp's daughter.
Is it Lily Rose Depp?
I think so.
Okay, well, for argument's sake, we'll say Lily Rose Depp.
Yes, that's it.
One of the very first reviews I read of The Idol about 2 weeks ago, when the first reviews came out, the first line was something along the lines of, if I never see Lily Rose Depp's nipples again, it'll be too soon. I'm going to guess there's a lot of Lily Rose Depp nipples in the show. And I was just like,
get that VR headset ready.
To demonstrate our new Apple Vision.
Where to watch The Idol.
Here's The Weeknd and Lily Rose Depp.
No way, man.
Yeah, it just sounded so bad.
There's nothing enticing about these reviews that make me go, you know what? It might be for me. Let me check it out. It's doing the opposite.
Here's the thing. Look, I love filthy. I love filthy. But I love it when it's done in such a way that it heightens the experience of a movie, and it's done in such a way that it gets you into the passions or the depravity or whatever it is that's going on with characters in the movie and stuff like that. I love it when it artistically fits. Otherwise, there's Pornhub. I mean, you can just go online. If you just want to see titties, go online or something like that. They're there. They're available. Why would
I
pay whatever
amount so much during one show
for Apple TV Plus or whatever the what is even the Idol on? Where is it?
Isn't open mic anymore? Is it open tits?
I think it's on Max, isn't it?
Is it on HBO? Up? Okay, so like, why do you have to pay $15 a month to go watch it there? I just
to watch.
Yeah.
To watch
anyway.
Mac. Yeah. Okay.
All right, was that it?
That was it.
Ray is so glad that today's episode of Open Mic is now drawn to a close. I don't think Ray could take anymore. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Big special thank you to all you guys who sent in the questions either via the tip link or in the super chat. Number one, because you gave us great fun things to talk about. Number two, you let us know about the Apple Vision. And number three, because you gave us great fun things to talk about. So thanks so much for that, guys. Hey, don't forget to come on back to the YouTube channel tomorrow. We're going to have some more videos going up in the morning. Also, don't forget, if you're not subscribed, we have a daily podcast here. The John Campus Show podcast is a daily podcast that goes out. Go subscribe to it on Apple, Spotify, or whatever your favorite podcast app of choice is. And we'll look forward to hearing you there. Also, don't forget, we do have a John Campia newsletter that goes out every morning. Go and subscribe to that so it gets delivered right to your inbox. And yeah, guys, that'll do it for us for now. So for Ray Ora, Jonathan Voico, my name's John Campia. And until next time, my friends, bye-bye.